great football team with a lot of moral fiber and a lot of character, and they showed it.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast, hosted by Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot.
No place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
Presented by Syracuse.com and NYUP.com.
The Bills make me wanna...
Welcome inside one of our favorite places in Western New York, Imperial Pizza on Abbott Road. They are so good to us. And so is my man, Pat Moran of Talking Buffalo Podcast, who is actually the producer today of this live show of Shout, a Buffalo football podcast. I'm joined by the legendary, it's right on the hat, Stevie Johnson, former Buffalo Bills wide receiver in town to be the legend of the game against the Packers on Sunday Night Football. What's up, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be on, and I appreciate circling back and being around you, you know?
Yeah, this is really cool, because I'm going to tell a story in a second. Before I do, we got to pay the bills. We're brought to you by Topps Friendly Markets, and right now you can enter to win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. Each week, Kings Hawaiian is pitting two city sliders against each other in the ultimate showdown, and you get to help decide the winner. Vote weekly for your favorite regional slider for a chance to win all season long and earn entries towards the $1 million prize. Explore the interactive stadium to play games, get recipes, share photos, and more. Visit topsmarkets.com/redzone to enter. So I'm pretty sure my wife.
Done, Tops.
Topps Friendly Markets, man. The official sponsor of the Shout podcast. So I think my wife was showing you off the screen or off the camera here. I was telling everybody that this is surreal for me because I cover the Bills now, but for a long time, I was a diehard Bills fan.
Yeah, indeed.
And number 13 was my guy. And so this is really cool. You're one of four jerseys that I ever owned.
Wow.
She was actually showing me, Pat, a Facebook post where I was talking about how he was going to cook Darrell Revis that week on Facebook. So this is really cool, man.
Yeah, that's definitely a cool thing, seeing that and understanding, like, the work that we put in. It actually meant something to people that, at the time, I didn't have a personal relationship with, you know? So to be able to do things like this now in a community and be here on your podcast is a surreal moment. Like you said, it's great. It's the process is going still, you know, and I'd enjoy it. I enjoy it.
What's that like? Because like we were talking too off camera about just the connectedness that you can now have with not only the community, but the team now and, you know, the media and all these kinds of things because of social media, and just the world that we live in. It's got to be kind of cool to stay so connected to it.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. You know, me personally, I felt like this was something that we wanted to do in my time, where the social media, the fans, how they having fun now on social media, like none of that was really going on back then, you know. But I kind of had that vision of making that happen, you know, and to see it happening now is beautiful for the fan base mainly. The players on the team is cool. It's cool. They're cool. But I mainly do it because of Buffalo. You know, the fan base, they love me. They supported me. So it don't matter who comes to the team. I feel like if you need some assistance, I'm here to help. Just let me know. You know what I mean? And it don't matter whether you a starter or non-starter, whether you play a lot or a little, you know, if I can help, I can help because I'm a part of the Bills Mafia, you know?
So you're in to do the legend of the game. I guess start with that. What's the schedule been like over the last couple of days? And you're pretty busy because as we see right here, there's always a way with Stevie J. You got yourself a children's book that you're going around to schools and talking about it and meeting kids.
Well, yeah, like it's a busy schedule, but it's a blessing to be busy. And no matter what I'm doing, there's always a way to make a play. And here we are. We started off doing our school visits, you know, me, Charlie and Zach, the creators, of the children's book. We did a couple school visits. We had some Delta Sonic, some shows. We did some things with Barefoot Wines. It was pretty cool, you know, just getting around and actually, like we said earlier, actually seeing the social media side get involved with football, you know, and that's what we're doing, having fun with it. I enjoy it.
That's awesome. So, you know, thinking back to your career, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is the legacy that you left. And I think sometimes, like, we move from era to era so quickly as the sports media world or the fan world. And sometimes we don't reflect, but for you, even being a part of a team, like we talked about, like, you know, never making the playoffs and all the struggles that you guys had, you personally, like what you did as a player, you know, left an impact. I was watching a clip, I'm sure you saw it from over the offseason, where Sean McVay, who's one of the, you know, biggest, you know, personalities in sports right now, one of the offensive geniuses in football, he gave you some love, comparing you to some of the greats. I mean, what's it like when you have somebody like that that still respects what you did as a player?
You know, that was a surprise, a complete surprise to me. You know, once again, I didn't even know McVay knew me like that. I did not expect him to bring my name up with any of those guys. But to hear it, it was just, like I said, it's a testament to the work that was put in. And not only the work that was put in, but to be specific, I was doing it to bring the fans and the players as one. You know, I wanted to do that. When I was a rookie, I was sitting on the sideline, undressed, and I seen players make plays. I seen the crowd going crazy, but I didn't see the engagement with the players in the crowd. I wanted to have that connection. And I feel like, you know, with a coach like McVay now saying that about me, I feel like the work was – it was done right. It was proper.
You know, you came in as a seventh round draft pick. You had to prove it. You had to earn it, right? When do you feel like things flipped a little bit and maybe you started getting the respect? Because, like, being down on the field, like, you see Stephon Diggs, like, people come up to him every game, no matter who they're playing. Like, people want to be when did you feel like people were like, oh, no, that's Stevie Johns. I got to go make sure I talk to him.
I don't know when it got to that point where others wanted to come talk to me. The main thing for me was, it was funny, we were just talking about this today. I was with Terrence McGee. When I was practicing, I came into the league and I seen him and he was already like savvy. He was scoring touchdowns, doing his thing. But he was a really good, smooth defensive back, technician, everything. When I was practicing against him daily and I heard him say, man, this kid Stevie, he good. If I got him saying that about me, that's when I was like, okay, I feel like I belong at least in this building. And if I got this guy having problems, somebody that's not practicing with me is going to definitely have problems. So that was a moment to where I felt like I belonged here. You know, as far as the outside where fans came in, I don't know. I don't know exactly when that started. I'll probably say training camp, walking from the dorms across to the field and seeing people running up. It's like, oh, dang, y'all, you know, you're not supposed to be over here, right? But it don't matter. Come on, I'll sign it for you. You know what I'm saying? So that was something cool. So training camp in Rochester was one of those times for that.
So, obviously, we've been here for a few minutes. We've been eating some wings, which, by the way, get out to Imperial. Great experience in here. It's got the sports bar. You can go and watch the game.
Yeah.
Get some pizza, some wings.
Unbelievable.
Really, really. What do you think of the wings, by the way?
Right now, it's going to be the best. It's the best right now. Wow. Yeah. I had the Loganberry wings for the first time, and I'm ready to
– tell them, Steve.
Not to cut you off, but I'm ready to go get some more, right?
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
But,
we'll get you some wings. We'll get you some wings to take them on the road. Whatever you got to do. They got really good.
Okay, definitely. Really yeah. Beer. I smelled it as we was pulling up. We was like a mile out and I smelled it. I was like, okay, we're going in the right direction.
So we're talking about like some of the other, modern people that are, respecting your game, right? Like then you hear like these young rookies coming in the league. Garrett Wilson's like, yeah, I've modeled my game after Stevie Johnson, first round pick, top 10 pick. I mean, what's that like, man? That's got to be just like surreal to hear that and to know that
it is, and it also gives me motivation to want to do more, like as far as helping, you know. When I hear Garrett Wilson top, like you said, run down the list on him, awesome player, and him saying that he used to watch me, I had no idea, you know what I'm saying? But if he watched me, okay, imagine if he was actually talking to me and getting those type of skills. So when I hear from him, the McVays, Garrett Wilson, McVays, and I just feel like there's more kids out there that I can help, you know, and I want to be that person to do it, you know.
Have you done any of that since you retired, like one-on-one work with any receivers?
Yeah. Actually, I have. And I just wanted to do more, you know. It was only something that I did because I thought, hey, you play football, you know, now you train. But there was no substance to it, though, you know, up until COVID hit. And I realized I was unaffected by COVID. You know, my family was unaffected. And why? It's because the work we put in, the things that I was doing throughout my career to make sure we're good if something happened. But that really woke up something in me to meet up with Charlie and create books for people, for kids, and then going out and really actively starting a mentor program like Exposure Academy to help these kids that's in the NFL. Some of them don't have the guidance. They spend their money. Some locker rooms aren't like the Bills locker room. You know, this is another thing. I might be going a little bit too long, but it's very serious. Like, the Bills locker room was special because it wasn't a lot of people splurging on different things. You know, obviously the snow came, so you're not really buying Lamborghinis and et cetera, et cetera. So I was able to keep a lot of my money, you know. And within that, I learned a lot of ways and techniques to sustain that. And I think it's something that's special for new guys coming in. And like you said, with Garrett Wilson talking about he used to model his routes after me, like there's so much more that you can model or learn and get better from me, even from my down times.
Is there anybody that you've worked with that you could tell us a little bit about it? Like any, like what are the training things you've been like? Because I just think of, like, you know, Josh Allen here and the work that he's done with a former player in Jordan Palmer and how he's credited him just for a big reason why his game's taken off. Yeah. I'm curious, like, any examples?
The main one is Keenan Allen. Okay. The main one is Keenan Allen. We spent a lot of time, obviously, I played with him, and then we just developed a relationship, you know, off seasons. Just diving into if a DB is on this side and you got this certain route, these are three options that you can use off the bat. You know what I mean? And then once you go from there, there's more options that you got in case he jump inside or, you know what I mean? Things like that. So it's real intricate. Keenan's one that's heavy. I don't know if you remember Tyrell Williams.
Yeah,
baller. He's another one.
He played for the Raiders for a little while.
He ended up going to the Raiders after Chargers. Those are guys that's moved in, but the rookies, I want to continue trying to get more involved with the rookies now because it's a whole new class coming in, you know, and these receivers got skills like me and Stephon Diggs type skills, you know, mixed together. So imagine if they can talk to Diggs all the time or have a line on me all the time. It's like you only go be a better person, you know. So I just want to be open and out there for them to elevate their game.
Well, I know Bills fans watching this right now are probably sitting there like, all right, what is this Garrett Wilson business? We don't want Stevie helping out Garrett Wilson. I think that there's more to this than that, like than the team part of it. It's the, you know, sharing kind of like what you learn with the next generation of players. And at the end of the day, it's interesting because even Stephon Diggs, for as much as he's competitive, he's talked so much about being invested in the success of other people, you know, that, you know, friends or, you know, acquaintances. And so I'm wondering, like, have you reached out to Garrett at all? Is that something that you're working on? Or
No, I've reached out. We made connection already. We locked in. I haven't been able to get on the field with him yet. Obviously, draft happened. We was doing a lot of things. Now we in season, so I'm hoping to find some time in the off season and link up with him. But not only just with Garrett, but with this Exposure Academy, I want to bring a lot more receivers in. You know, I want to bring them to Buffalo, actually, to Highmark Stadium, and have where they have NFL pass rush summits. Mm-hmm. They got the tight end summit type things.
Yep.
You know, I was thinking about bringing something like that for receivers, you know, and establishing it in Buffalo so the community can be a part of it also, you know.
That's
something
awesome
cool
idea. And you're going to be in the, you know, the building on Sunday. Maybe chat with Von Miller about it because he's written the book on that.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
Exactly. And what a special time to have the ultimate closer with us, you know. Like, he really solidified me thinking Super Bowl. Yeah, why not? We're going to win a Super Bowl. And it's just because of the work. It's not just talking. You know, he's put in the work with multiple teams. I think he's the only one on our team with two Super Bowls or with a Super Bowl appearance. I can't think of nobody else. But, like, can you imagine playing with somebody? Like, you're playing with Hall of Famers. So, for the rookies and the younger guys, you have a vision right there, you know. And he's not the only guy that can be a Hall of Famer on this team. You know, we got probably four or five guys that can be Hall of Famers on this team. And that's a special time for Buffalo.
We spent a lot of time talking about it the last couple of weeks about the differences between this roster and the one last year when they kind of went through a little bit of up and down before they really took off after that Tampa Bay game. And I think one of my observations being in the building every day and being around these guys is there's such a level of calm that Von brings in because he's seen everything.
Yeah,
so when the bullets are firing and the stress levels are high, he has so much experience to kind of tap into. And all these other guys, I feel like they've got their own experiences now too, and they all just kind of feed into it.
Exactly.
Together.
It's a great time for, like I said, the fans, the players, the management group, the coaches, you know, everything is working at the same time. And like you said, Bomb brings a certain element. And then the players also got that element to where we've been through it also. So we know, you know what I mean? And I think the timing is just right. You know, once again, I'm not guaranteeing or saying, yeah, we doing Super Bowl or whatever, because I'm a Bills fanatic. I really believe like this team is from the depth. And just like, once again, like it's so hard to have the coaches, the management and players all on one accord. Then you got a community like this. You got everything you need. That's peace of mind.
Buffalo for sure rides for you. And you wrote for them a little bit
indeed.
In the draft.
Indeed.
When you came out, you kind of corrected that dude who said one of the three New York teams.
Yeah.
Made a point to do it. I always kind of like poke at people on social media about that. I think it's funny.
Right.
But what was that experience like? How much did you know about James Cook, and what are your impressions of him so far? Because obviously it's been a little bit of a struggle at times.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with the struggle. It's normal. It's normal. I just hopefully he's not like into his own mind thinking just because he's not having a stellar or a stud type season that he thinks, oh, this maybe my game isn't ready for it. No, it ain't that. It's just about getting acclimated, finding your positions on the team. You know what I mean? It's just little steps that'll help you. But I knew about him since he was at Georgia, you know, cause I'm a Kentucky Wildcat. I seen him torch us a couple years. And I was like, yeah, this dude is nice. This dude is pretty good. And then when I seen we had the draft pick, I'm in the back and I'm like, James Cook, Georgia, what? Like that's kind of wild that I'm looking at this dude, obviously torching us at Kentucky. And then months later, I get the card and his name is on it. At first, I didn't recognize, and I was like, "Man, wait, the Georgia run—that's number 4, I think." Yeah, he was a baller. The dreads, yeah. And then like we got him. Oh my goodness! And then we start going through all of these trades, like, "Oh, we go trade back here." I didn't know how things was going with the draft. Mm-hmm. I was thinking somebody's gonna snatch him.
Right?
Like, please, nobody take this kid. And yep. And you know, obviously ours is a lock, but you can go back on him. But yeah,
so
we ended up keeping
the card. And then the trades happened.
And then the trades.
So they were
going
to take Cook at the spot they were at. And they were just like, well, let's see if he's still there in a couple minutes.
Right, yeah. And I was just worried, like, dang, I hope nobody snatched him. I hope nobody snatched him, because adding him, another playmaker, to this playmaking roster, you just got to find your place. And then, you know, you'll be cool. You'll be cool.
A lot of Bills fans just clamoring for, like, Christian McCaffrey. Actually, we have one right here right now who came. He's a super fan of the Shout Podcast. He's become a real good friend of mine.
Nice.
Scott Maranto. He's over at the bar. And every time we do a show, he talks about Christian McCaffrey. Do you think this Bills team needs another like super weapon like that?
Why not? You know, why not? I feel like from the outside looking in, this team doesn't mind having more playmakers, you know. And also from the outside looking in, I know this is a tough game. Injuries happen. Nicks happen. So if we add another playmaker, it's only going to help our team, because once we get that Super Bowl ring, everybody's going to get that, you know. I don't think these guys have a problem with having other stars on the team. So just adding another one is only beneficial to our ultimate goal.
I want to ask you this. We're going to bring Charlie in a few minutes. So you have a lot of, like, iconic moments from your career. Obviously, the Why So Serious, jersey pull, you know, the drop, obviously, yeah. Something like things that have, like, you know, big time moments that
right.
Not every player can say they have one of those
right,
things.
Right.
You have a lot of, like,
right.
You know, the Plaxico Burress thing.
Yeah, a lot of.
What are you asked about the most? Like, when you meet fans or NFL people in the NFL, what's one of the things that people talk to you most about?
Definitely Why So Serious.
Okay.
Why So Serious is the one. It was one of those things, because we've gone against these iconic receivers and they call themselves Batman and Robin. You know what I'm saying? I think T.O. was with us. Yeah, he was with us the year before or something like that. And, yeah, just going there and establishing that Why So Serious type thing. It was, like, because of those other iconic moments where I was having fun and I was just telling myself, like, why am I being so serious? It wasn't even directed at the Batman and Robin, Chad and Ocho thing, but it was just perfect timing for that, you know? So I just ran with that story. But the Why So Serious thing is what I get talked about a lot, and is mainly because I was actually taking a lot of things serious, and I had to have a talk with myself.
That's awesome. Charlie, why don't you get in here, man?
Charlie.
So, Charlie Roberts, which actually, in true Buffalo fashion, I've known Charlie for, what, 15 years? 15 years.
Okay.
Come in just a little tighter. Got to get it, make sure where all of our faces are on the camera. And so we used to cover UB basketball together. Wow. We're in the same press row. And so I ran into him. Our kids go to the same school now. And we were catching up. And obviously the work that you guys have done. So I guess to start off with, how did this book idea kind of, how was it born? And then take me through the process of how, you know, we got to this place.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, you know, like all good stories, you know, I like to say that it starts and ends with a good beer, but Stevie did a collaboration with a brewery up in Lewiston, Brickyard Brewery, one of my favorites. Shout out Brickyard. You know, and I had the beer. I tweeted a picture of it. It was kind of a nothing tweet. Didn't really think much of it. It was a good brew. It was a good Bills game, you know, celebrating. Stevie liked the tweet. And we kind of bantered a little bit about the beer, and I thought nothing more of that. The next night I'm out for a run, you know, and I just can't get that handle business, have fun mentality out of my head. And I was thinking about it, and I got down a rabbit hole in his social feeds, and like every other picture is him in the community, him with kids, him tweeting something positive, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, this dude's a children's book, right? Like, uh-huh. he is a children's book.
Right.
That thought kind of ping-pong, you know, between my ears, you know, for the next 5 miles that night. And got home and just scribbled down every idea I had on paper. And while I had his attention, you know, DM'd him right back and was like, dude, I think I have an idea for a children's book. And he's like, bro, give me your number. He's like, we got to talk.
Yeah.
I'm already working on a coloring book. You know, I got a guy in Buffalo who's an illustrator, wow. Zach McCabe.
Yeah.
He's like, it's like the universe has spoken here, you know? Yes. So from there, we just kind of went back and forth, you know? I got those ideas a little more fleshed out, gave a first draft to Stevie. We got Stevie's voice in it. Got the illustrator at the table and, you know, here we are a little less than a year later, one book down, a coloring book out and, you know, a third on the way.
Wow.
Yes, yes, yes. It was supposed to happen in a sense. It was supposed to happen, you know, it was random, you know, and, yep. and he took a chance. That's one thing that I like about it. He took a chance contacting me, you know what I'm saying? And being vulnerable, you know, and that, sometimes that's what it's about. You got to go out there and be vulnerable and then who knows what'll come out of it. And here we are, like you said, we got two books down and we got more plans in the future, you know?
That's so amazing. And yeah. It's funny because I was telling Stevie, you know, my son, this is his first summer where he went to his camp. Yeah. And got to experience. And I'm like, this is like a true, like perfect scenario where like he's living this life. Like this isn't something where like, you know, some people just like have an idea. It's part of kind of who you are. I mean, you give back, you're a real pillar in the community for kids.
Wow. Yeah. That's great to hear because I really believe in the community. I believe in the youth and I want to do my part to help them out even a little bit when they grow up. You know what I'm saying? Cause it's a tough world and whatever spark we can give, whether it's through a book, or at the camps, giving some type of encouragement, it can go a long way. It can go a very long way.
What's been the most fun part of this process for you?
Man, you name it. I mean, just being here at the table with you guys is a lot of fun, right? I was telling Stevie the other night, we were texting back and forth. You know, this dude's being humble, right? Like he genuinely wants to make a difference. And I told him, I'm like, listen, we are making a difference. I had the other day, true story, I'm out in Wegmans. Mm-hmm. And a lady came up to me, you know, and said, hey, you're the guy who worked with Stevie Johnson to write the children's book. I said, true story, right?
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, you came to my school, you know, and just couldn't say enough about how much she loved the book, loved the message, you know, loved that we were out there doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that really was like kind of my like, wow moment, right?
Oh, nice. Like, nice.
Like to be recognized, yeah. You know, but more so, you know, about the work and about the quality right. of the work and the message.
Right.
Just the stuff we did today too, being at the schools and seeing the kids. I mean, that's what it's about. Right.
Right.
And the friendship, it seems like, right.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That's kind of cool too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I definitely found a brother.
Yeah.
I definitely found two brothers with Zach. He's not here right now, but yeah, I mean, we found family in a sense and we all got the same goal. And that's just helping others, you know, helping others prevail, giving the others a platform. It's just great. It's great to be in these classrooms with the kids. And it's not only about football, me playing football. It's actually a book. Like, this is amazing. This is
amazing. Speaking of amazing, there's a lot of deals going on at Tops right now. It's the season to save on groceries and all of your holiday gifts. Christmas bonus is underway at Tops Friendly Markets. Shop at Tops and save $10 at all your other favorite stores and restaurants with over 25 gift cards to choose from. There's something for everyone on your list. And don't forget to treat yourself to some extra savings too. Save on great gifts like toys and games from GameStop or Toys R Us at Macy's. Great family dining at Applebee's or Buffalo Wild Wings, that new big screen TV you want from Best Buy, and so much more just by shopping at Tops. Be Santa's biggest little helper with Christmas bonus from Tops. Visit topsmarkets.com/Christmas bonus.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast hosted by Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot.
So I did a little digging because I just want to look at all the wide receiving coaches you had while you played. And you had four in Buffalo, I think. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Stan Hixon.
Yeah, see if you can do them.
Stan Hixon. Ike Hilliard was the last. What's the tight end? He was a tight end coach. Not Perry Fuel. It was he was a tight end. I can't remember his name.
I put him on the spot.
Oh, my goodness. What was Coach Tyke? Bay? No, not Tyke Tobin. Okay. That was the first one. You gave me that one.
I gave you that one. I messed up.
Shout out Tyke too, but I'm going to throw him under the bus right now.
Okay.
I'm going to throw him under the bus right now. No.
You can throw him under the bus. I understand.
So look, Kansas City been on me ever since I made this cut block on Eric Berry. Uh-huh. And I definitely did not mean to hurt him like that. He's a SEC guy, you know what I'm saying? So I always respect SEC players. I was just being informed as a rookie, if you don't go make this cut block on this run and he makes a tackle on Fred, you're going to get fined. You know what I mean? He made it. I did not want to get fined. I've never had money before, so I'm trying to keep all my money. So I made sure I went and had this cut block. I didn't even see where Freddie was. It wasn't even necessity for it. Mm-hmm. And I made the cut block in – like his knee was out, and I just felt real bad about that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just been getting a lot from that. Not that it's bothering me or anything, but it now that I'm on, I'm able to do this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do that, and I'm gonna say, Tyke, you the reason why that happened. You know what I'm saying? So
well, that's gonna be tough because like for a long time, cut blocks, I mean, it's part of a game.
It was a part of the game, right?
Yeah, obviously, over time, you realize like you gotta keep guys healthy. You don't really want to be doing that. But
exactly.
I mean, we've seen some stories in the league, like from coaches. I mean, Bounty Gate was out there.
He wasn't as serious as the Bounty Gate,
but
he really made an emphasis on if this safety get our running back, you're gonna get fined, and it don't have nothing to do with the team. I'm gonna fine you. So yeah, I was just making sure I was keeping all my money.
How hard must it be now, though? I mean, you can't play like that these days.
So
these guys, like, how hard do you think it is for them to switch off and have like a hit zone, right, or a strike zone?
Well, I mean, it's all doable. You know, it's the guys that's making those bad hits, they know what they're doing. You know what I mean? They know they can control it or do a certain way. Only ones that's like kind of cool is where when the guy catches and his head go down or something. But like most times, it can be controlled. Like even the one when I got with Eric, it could have been controlled. I could have got there in front of him and did this. I didn't even have to dive at his leg. But you go through things and you learn from it, though.
I also think I feel like it's tough too. Like watching it so close for so long now, things are happening so fast out there. I think a lot of stuff. Like yeah, sure, maybe you have that in your mind, like you're going to do it. But in a lot of times too, like there's probably a moment where hey, I got to. The only way I'm getting to this guy is if I cut locker.
Go through. Yeah. You got to just have a better angle. To be honest, yeah, you got to have a better angle. Don't go at the person. Go to like where he's going to be, and then you got to figure it out from there. You know, there's always a way.
There's always a way.
Like the speed of the game, it don't matter. Like you're there. If you watch film, the speed wouldn't be so fast. You know. So there's a way to make the plays without having to be illegal or even doing cut blocks. You just got to have that want in you.
Bob Bicknell.
Yeah, Bick.
There he is.
He called him Bick. Yeah. That was an interesting time there. I kind of understood he was kind of just filling in a spot.
Right.
He was cool, real cool dude, but it was like one of them times where it was like, are they serious? Are we serious right now? You know, I always had respect for him. But at the same time, it's like, dude, we're a professional team. We don't need – I don't need you to give us – just you just throwing in – he wasn't even a receiver.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm probably talking too much now. You
got, no, it's okay. It's okay. Listen, though. Listen, there's another example, though, of this on the current team that I think is important. And like, I think the importance of – the reason I asked all this anyway is because the receiving group in Buffalo right now with Chad Hall – that is a group that's so intertwined. He's been such a key part of the development of so many guys. Nice. Isaiah McKenzie, Gabe Davis. Obviously, Stephon Diggs has credited him. Cole Beasley and John Brown before him. He's been a really great position coach. And I think of Josh Allen. When he came into the league, he had Juan Castillo, who was like an offensive lineman. Like an offensive line coach. That's like that's wild. And, you know, they wanted somebody that could kind of direct the ship a little bit. But sometimes, you know, you got to have somebody that has done it. And I think, like, that's why Ken Dorsey was so good at it. Right. Now, obviously, they have Joe Brady. He's got a lot of experience in different things. But I think I'm always interested about the positional coach and the impact that can have on a player.
Well, yeah, and when you're saying that, it was a great question. It's a great conversation for it. Ike Hilliard was that guy. He was only here for a little bit. You know, at the end of that season, I think me and him was the only one that got kicked out the facility. But he was an actual receiver. He was actually teaching our guys and developing our young guy, Naaman, Marcus, Kevin. Who else we had in there? Donald Jones and David Nelson. You know, they was all undrafted guys, but they were pretty good. And it's because we had that coach. You know what I'm saying? We look at them a little bit different. We give them all respect, but when you got a player that was top five or whatnot, you know he's done his thing. It's just a difference, you know. It's just a difference, other than having, you know, offensive linemen coaching receivers. Like, I'm gonna listen to you and all that, but it's like I'm kind of on my own, really. You know what I'm saying?
But have you watched the Bills game with him?
No, not yet. We tailgated for the Tennessee game. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
At the Bills Mafia house.
I think we only got to watch Fitz perform on Thursday night.
Yeah,
and then,
that was gonna
and
be one of my out. Questions. Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of funny. He walked into my house. Oh man. He walks in my house and walks by the TV, stops, looks over, and there's Fitz on TV. He's like,
"Yeah, I didn't even know at the time." Yeah, I didn't even know at the time.
Was that Kansas City?
Hey, okay,
yeah, that's right there.
Yo,
right?
Yeah. Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah. I've never seen that one. That Fitz
so match. This was a 26 shirts. They did this, I think, last year, and I saw it. I'm like, bro, I gotta get that. Like that's fire. Like that. When he did this, so I worked at the UFC for 5 years in Vegas.
What? Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's dope.
And so right in the heart of the Conor McGregor era. So when he came out here looking like Conor McGregor,
whoa,
I'm like,
okay, that had to blow up.
It just was awesome. I made it my profile picture for a little while. Yeah. And I love Fitz. I mean, that era was – people don't realize, too, like, there was so much bad football, and it was such a grind of those early 2000s that when you guys got here, even though that wasn't, like, playoff teams – it was like finally notoriety. Like Fitz was like fun and he was putting up stats and you were putting up stats and we had some attention on the city.
Indeed.
And so I know Bills fans look back at that era of Bills as maybe not. I mean, listen, what they are now is kind of like a whole different.
Indeed.
But there's a really special place for that group.
Right. It's like the beginning of it, you know, in a sense, you know, we was great with the glory years, the 90s. And then with us, it definitely fell off, but we was the ones kind of getting it back from the like the overall picture, not basically just wins and losses. It was like the overall bringing the whole community together. You know, I think that was the start of it. And now what we're seeing now is basically the growth from that, you know.
So we got to talk about Fitzy. What's the early returns on the beard in the booth? Because it's first of all, the dynamic I think is kind of a little bit strange because they got so many people on that desk, but I think he's been great.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think he's made for it. He's definitely made for it. He's got the charisma. He's got the everything that you need to fill in the blanks when it's time to speak or whatnot. Like, he's really good at that. He's awesome at that. We know. But then you add his how he's different. His style, his flavor. You know, it's like, come on now. You can't really complain with that or argue with it. He's perfect for it, I'll say.
He seems really honest, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, real candid. I don't know. He goes about it in a different way. I mean, which is kind of how he lives his life, right?
Indeed.
He does talk about the challenges, though. Like, have you ever thought about going into the booth? Because, like, he just finished playing, so he's got tons of relationships still in the league. And so it's like, you almost like might see some people you know pregame, then maybe have to bash him a little bit after the game.
I think he does a good job at not bashing. You know, he knows how to deflect the bash in a sense, not like I did earlier with the coaches talk, but that's why Fitz is Fitz. He's Fitz Magic, man. But he's a great dude. He's a great dude overall, and even if he was to bash somebody, it's only for the job. You know, he definitely don't feel that way personally. He's one of the best dudes I've been around.
So let's talk a little bit about Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, watching him is just like, it's one of those things where I think like you take for granted being around him for a while because he's so fluid. He's so effortless. Like, how rare of a skill set does he have? Somebody that's played the position, knowing what he can do and knowing the teams are game planning specifically to take him out. And he's still he's like among, I mean, I think he's second in the league in receiving with a bye week already.
Yeah. You know, it's as special as having back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. That's how special it is to see this kid. I personally feel like he gonna get at least 8, and then maybe we'll see what happens after that. But that's how rare this type of athlete is right now. And not only him, but you got Josh. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I wouldn't have the opportunity to make 3,000-yard seasons if it wasn't for Fitzpatrick, if it wasn't for Coach Gailey, and obviously the line doing what they're doing, they're probably doing their part. But with Diggs, you having Fitz, not only that, I mean, not Fitz, Josh Allen, you still got Gabe Davis, you still got Dawson Knox, you still got Devin Singletary. You know, you got everybody, a lot of people on the team to where this 11 people is going to have to worry about somebody. Now you're leaving this guy Diggs open. And as soon as you do that, that connection that the quarterback and receiver got is impeccable. You know, it's an advantage.
You're going to be at the walkthrough tomorrow. I mean, how tough is it for you to be there? You know, you're in good shape, good health.
I love this.
I'm in good walking shape, good looking shape. But as soon as I run a few hours, I'm like, hey, look, I'm done. I can't do this. I can't do this. But the competitiveness don't ever leave. Like I felt like, so I was on One Bills Live the other day, and they asked about you know, similar question, and I answered it with, I'm glad that Gabriel Davis is doing what he's doing, because a lot of players, I mean, the fans aren't saying, oh, we wish we had another 13. We wish we had you, Stevie, this and that. And I'm the type of person that's like, all right, I'm about to start working out then because I'm trying to come back. You know what I mean? And I swear on everything, I'm in bed really thinking like tomorrow I'm going to practice. You know, like it was wild. But now when we got a guy like Gabe doing this thing, I can be at ease, you know, like. They're good. I don't need to think about it. I can come back. I can make it. I'm only 36. I can get one more in or two more. I can catch a couple first downs. But, like my time is up. So going to see this practice, I'm cool with just being on the side.
Not even a little FOMO?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, but if they do say, hey, I got some pads in the jersey for you, yeah, I'll do it.
I think, like, sometime in the off season, like when you do put together this football camp, you just invite a couple of guys out there, put on the pads, run a couple routes. Right. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe I'm good for it. I'm for it.
Speaking of Gabriel Davis, I got to ask your reaction to that touchdown catch against
the one-handed. The one where he caught it with two and took it. Like, what, man? Which one?
The one-handed. Yeah, I got to get your reaction to that.
Goodness,
that was special.
Yeah, very special. It was like 89 yards or whatnot. One-hander with a guy all over him. Man, baller, you know. Once again, the depth of the team is great. You got a player, that's your second guy, putting up numbers like that, putting up plays like that. It's just, what if, I mean, like in the future, he's going to be that guy, you know, and we'll be talking about him with a consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. So I'm just looking forward to the growth of everybody, you know, seeing how far they can go.
We're going here. How long have we gone here, Pat? 39. So I did a little contest, and I got to look off camera at AJ, who's over there. Do we got a fan that's coming on or no? We got a fan coming on? Yeah. Who won the drawing? You coming on? Yeah. You want to find out? Get him in here?
Yep.
So we did a little contest. When we did this, I said, DM me that you subscribe to the YouTube channel, and I'll send you time and place, and we'll shoot with Stevie, and then we'll do a drawing. Problem is, we did this at 2 o'clock middle of a work day. And Jeff, is that your name, right?
Yes.
Jeff came out.
What up, Jeff?
Got the microphone.
Congratulations.
Right. Congratulations. A little bit more. So, yeah, you came out here in the middle of a work day, and now you're on the Shop Football Podcast.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Love it. Love it. It's nice. Great to be back. I'm from South Buffalo originally, so being back in South Buffalo and hanging out here, hey, you know, I'll take an afternoon off of work for this.
Awesome. How you feel about the cereal smell? South Buffalo is where the General Mills is, right?
Yeah. You know, going from South Buffalo to downtown for work every day when I lived here, it's a, you know, different smell every day. Yeah, Cheerios, it's Lucky Charms. Nice. It's great, man.
Nice.
It's great.
Nice. I love it.
So what's your favorite part about this season so far?
You know, it's tough to say, but, you know, watching both the offense and the defense dominate, you know, a lot of years you'd see, you know, our defense is good, but, you know, all we can do is run the ball, you know, 4 yards in a cloud of dirt, right? And this year it's just slinging the ball all over the place, at the same time taking the quarterback down on defense. It's great.
Yeah, it's good. It's showtime, basically.
Yeah,
you know, it's
you
come to the games or you turn the game on and you just know, like, there's a feeling that there's going to be a show either on offense or defense. You know, it's not a I wonder if we'll win. You know, we either know we're going to win, but then we're going to see some highlights, somebody getting hurdled over or somebody getting one-handed or Diggs destroying a DB or Vaughn or Tremaine. Like, it's just amazing. Yeah, this is a great time for the Bills country.
How do you watch the game? Do you watch the game like pacing? Do you watch it chill, lay back? Do you swear? Like, how do you experience games?
I don't really pace. I sit back and I chill, or I'll be at my daughter's softball game, and I'm either on Twitter looking at what's going on. So my chatting back and forth, it'll probably be on social media more so than, you know, talking at the TV. But yeah, it's always a good time. I either got some friends on the phone, or we got a group message going on, our former players. We just, you know, watching it like everyone else, I would say.
You got a question for Stevie?
I don't know if I have a question, but I got to say, you know, when you were playing for the team, I mean, you know, watching you play, I've been a Bills fan for a long time, and there's a lot of hard years in there, but watching you play, like, it was fun. It was fun, man. And watching you run routes too. I mean, you know, when I played Pop Warner, I was a receiver.
Nice.
Wasn't very good. but watching your moves with your feet, man, it was just a lot of fun. And you know, obviously, like, seeing Diggs do it now, it's like, oh yeah, hey, I've seen that before.
Yeah,
I've seen it before in a Bills jersey.
Nice. I appreciate that. I appreciate that a lot. And yeah, once again, like, you've been throwing that in with the Diggs thing, like, that's great, because I mean, he one of the greatest, and yeah. He's potentially a Hall of Famer, I'd say, you know? So it's pretty cool.
This has been an awesome time right here at Imperial Pizza. And got to check out the wings. The Loganberry Barbecue. Stevie Johnson put the stamp on it. We're going some more here in a minute. And speaking of things you got to eat, Tops has covered game day, your tailgating spreads. You get large cheese and pepperoni pizza, chicken wings. They got the breakfast pizza. You had a Tops breakfast pizza?
Yeah, I have had a Tops breakfast pizza.
That's fire. Yeah, that's the definition of fire, okay? when we signed Tops as the official sponsor, I stamped that because of the breakfast
pizza.
There
it is, yeah.
So there you go. For Stevie Johnson, for Jeff, I am Matt Perino. Thank you for tuning in to Shout. We'll see you after the game. Sunday Night Football. Stay up late with us. Take care, everybody.
Go Bills.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast, hosted by Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot.